Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Dice Club. That other guy couldn't be bothered to record this, so here I am. Last time, our heroes defeated the terrifying arm robots with some equally terrifying, equally badass drill motorcycles. They go on a way too brief joyride before Marsh steers them all over a cliff, doing some sick stunts and drilling into the wall. They climb up, exploring miles of decaying garden before tendrils appear, powering up dozens of robots that begin to change their appearance to match each party member's before they attack. Let's see what happens next.
So, last we left off, you were fine and nothing happened.
We were sitting peacefully and nobody was attacking us.
That's true. Okay, yeah. Everybody's okay and everybody's alive right now.
Yes!
And forever.
Yes!
And being alive, you can now see you are being ambushed, kind of backed against this wall by a group of illusory robots, all of which look like one of your party. Dozens more from the surrounding area.
Do the dozens in the back closer. Also look like us?
Yes, they cool. do. There's like
great.
There's like a lot of these guys all coming in. Let's roll for initiative.
Yippee!
Come on.
No, I rolled a good initiative.
I didn't. Good.
Worrying it.
Upset about that, Cavs.
Because I don't want to go first.
Gavs just doesn't like playing the game.
Okay, well, plus 3.
She's right.
So I'm going first.
Way too much pressure to roll a good initiative, because then you have to think, like, fast.
Who goes first?
29. You can go first if you want.
Okay.
That's not how it works. Who's got the higher dexterity?
Oh, Dex, I have a plus 3.
I have a plus 2. All
right. Yes! So Egg gets to go first.
Yes!
Egg, then Gavs, then...
Once you're done calculating, I have a couple of questions.
My question is, how good do we look? Because am I right, guys?
My question is like, Tin, are you aware where our HP is at? Because it's not great.
I don't.
That's
haven't been
just on
it.
You. I'm fine.
My HP is wonderful. Don't
it's
worry.
Not,
about
it's not
me
terrible.
Meta.
Some of us are fine. Some of us are not that great. Saradin is at like half, so.
I have a couple of questions just about our scenario.
Yes.
First is, we reached this wall. We're near a door there, correct?
It is more like the, so there's a kind of terminal that's extending from the floor. It's not like on the wall. It's like a terminal that's coming out of the floor and Seeker's connected to that. You can see there's like a porthole in the floor behind that and you're all kind of around that. But yes, you are kind of backed against this.
Second question, do all of the copies of us also have the little glowing squiggles on them too?
Glowing squiggle? That oh, we... yes, they do.
Oh, dang it. I thought it would be a good way to identify each other amidst the crowds.
Oh my god, okay, do the Cyrus ones say kick me on the back?
The thing about the robots is that they are not duplicating your mannerisms. They're just kind of very coldly like moving toward you, kind of ambling.
Oh,
it's
so they are
kind of freaky
Marsh's movement.
Because they look like you. Well, yeah, I guess so. But
funny.
It is similar to, they are similar to zombies, but they're just kind of rigidly walking towards you. Ren, you are up first.
Oh, shoot. How long does a rage last?
I don't you know definitely if I ever went out of rage for 6 hours.
It's been like
6
hours.
Sorry.
It's been like 6
minute.
Hours.
Never mind. I go into a rage again. And I wield my maul and I swing at whichever one is closest to me, I guess.
They're all relatively the same amount. They look like one of each of you. Who do you target here?
Oh. Is there a Cyrus close to me?
Yeah.
Dude.
Can I whack him right in the kick me?
In the what the kick now? Me is, like, behind him.
Okay, well then I whack him in the head.
Alright, if your action is gonna be just hurting him twice, you can roll
well,
two.
Well, I wanna see I guess, how much yeah, damn, like, fair. What happens, you know? Ugh, that's not better. It's a 3+7. 3+7. Does a 10 hit?
10 does not hit.
Okay, well then I swing again.
Okay.
And it's a 22. So this time
that
it does
one
hit.
Does. That one will.
And 14 damage.
Okay. You kind of swing your maul into just kind of down onto it, and it hits like the crook of the where the neck meets the shoulder, and he kind of crumbles down. And after your maul is like, after you kind of retrieve your maul and like pull it back to you and ready your stance again, he stands up, and the image kind of like just flickers for a second, and now he looks like bloody and very, very worn and damaged. Venus,
fascinating.
It is now your turn.
Okay. And those tendrils, they're not like still powering it, right? They just transferred.
They actually are. They're still in the ground, kind of powering that field.
Okay. And are we close to those things?
About 100 feet away.
Yeah, of course. Just casual 100 feet. Yeah, I mean, I can't move that far now, can I?
I don't think so.
Man, okay, well, dude, this is why I shouldn't go first. Second.
I have a whole plan.
You could, if you action surge, if you had another action surge, you could get it. If you,
Whoa.
If you took the dash action, which would get you to 60, assuming your speed is 30, and then action surged and dashed again, that would be 120.
Theoretically, you're right.
Yes.
There are a lot of robots in the way.
And
oh, the robots are in front of them?
Have not rested since you...
How many action surges does she have?
Yeah. Oh, that's
and
right.
She doesn't have an action surge.
Just one.
Just it's one, right?
Yeah. It's not equal to proficiency?
Yep.
Or... Wow, okay.
Nope.
All right, never mind.
So the thing's charging... yeah, I appreciate it. You've given me direction. The things that are charging it are behind the robots?
Yeah. They're like...
Oh, okay.
I want
I'm
you to
so
imagine the scene
things.
Is like... The scene is like... There are just miles and miles of this, like, farmland, basically. And littered throughout, there are robots. But, like, 100 feet away, these tendrils have kind of gone into the ground and are, like, powering up, like, area of effect, kind of spreading the electricity throughout. And all of those robots now are waking up and drawing nearer to you. So the ones that are close enough to you to attack are the six that look like each one of you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does the blue-black lightning look the same as Corvus Heath's and Ooh. Cyrus's?
It looks pretty similar.
Huh.
Fascinating. I will have to ask Cyrus.
Okay. I mean, it seems kind of silly to just... Because we're not going to be able to kill every single one of these guys.
Thanks kill your double, team. Venus!
Yeah, I mean, okay. I guess that's it, right? Like, that's all I've got. Okay. I'm going to just charge towards my double and then try and, I guess, long slash against the body.
Okay. Go ahead and roll attack.
Ooh, that is... Holy shit. 24.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I'm gonna do that and see what happens before I do my next attack.
Reasonable.
Thank you. That is 12 damage.
Okay. You see a very similar thing happen to, when Ren hit Cyrus. You kind of slash across the body of the Venus in front of you, and as you kind of, like, bring yourself back into the ready position to make another attack, it kind of flickers, and now she is a little bit bloodier, and you can see, like, the tips of her hair is, like, singed.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay, I mean, I guess... Yeah, okay, I guess I'll do that again. Like, I guess. This is interesting, right, guys? That is...
Yeah, I mean, I'm enthralled.
Thanks. That is a 21
Yeah. Yeah,
dude,
that one does
on
it.
Fire.
And so is your sword.
Ah!
Yo.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a factual statement about
sword
our
jokes.
Weapons. Good job.
10 damage. Yep.
10 damage. Okay, so you you cut through the Venus in front of you, and it kind of looked how it was, and you withdrew yourself before you turn around and slash again. And this time, your sword just kind of moves through it, and you can see it now has been cut pretty cleanly in half.
Oh.
And the illusion is no longer up, and you can see the kind of robot there on the ground in parts.
I killed it.
Is that your turn?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yay! Good job, team!
Good job! You
easy
killed your
peasy.
Double.
Now there's only about 500 more.
Cool.
Wow.
Thanks.
Marsh, you're up.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
I probably have asked this before, but a spell, even if it's a spell attack, doesn't count as an attack with my two attacks.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to roll some things. And then describe it on based on what I roll.
Okay.
But I'm making attacks.
That's the name of the game.
Awful. Better. All right, I got a 5 on one and a 15 on the other.
Who are you attacking?
Marsh.
Okay.
My armor class is 15. I don't know if that matters, but does that hit?
It doesn't. What did you say it was?
Marsh.
The rolls were?
Oh, 5 and 15.
5 and 15. Okay, the 15 hits.
Cool. So Marsh takes out their dagger, and their hand is kind of on their hip, and they go up to the other Marsh very close, like to their face, and kind of like looking at them and like tilting back and forth and kind of analyzing their face. And as they do this, they stab into the gut of Marsh and we roll damage.
Whoa.
I don't know if I add anything else to it. To my damage.
That's wild.
That's a 4. I don't know if I had anything else, but...
Okay, we could just say it's a 4. You stab into the gut of this Marsh, and I think as you, like, pull your dagger out...
Still very close to
the image kind of flickers. Very close, yeah. The image kind of flickers, and then there now is a illusory dagger just in the gut of this Marsh where you've stabbed into it. Is this your turn?
Does their face change at all when I do this?
Or is it just... It takes, like, and it looks like, it goes into, like, pain a little bit, but, like, still blank, pretty much.
Got it. Okay.
Alright, up next are the robots. That Marsh is actually going to just reach out and, grab you.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's gonna attempt to grab you. That would be a 16.
That
I think
hits.
You said 15, was it?
Yeah, that's my armor.
Yeah, okay. It is going to
hit you
for...
I had the armor on before when we were doing the room, but I am gonna say that I took it off while we walked.
Why?
Okay. All right.
Because Marsh wouldn't have it on.
Flame.
Role-playing character.
Yeah.
And not metagaming.
I mean, it's not metagame to keep your armor on, but okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it is kind of metagame to be like, oh, you hit. Oh, actually, you don't, because I have this thing that I did like 2 sessions ago that I still have.
Anyways.
Sure. Yeah.
Kind of reach out and grabs you, and you can feel that kind of lightning go across you as you take 9 points of lightning damage.
Oh, okay.
And then the Wren is going to go over to... it's going to start kind of walking back towards Seeker. And then Cyrus is up.
Wait, does Wren get an opportunity attack? He's leaving his area.
Wren attacked Cyrus. The Wren.
Oh, okay.
Can we call them Robo Wrens and Robo whatever is?
Robo, okay, yeah. My bad. Robo Wren heads back towards Seeker, and now regular Cyrus is up, and he is going to cast. He sees Robo Wren start to walk towards Seeker, and he extends his hand. And. Oh my goodness. Robo Wren. Stops moving. Next up is Saradin.
Okay. Saradin is kind of avoiding actually looking at Robo Saradin, and instead is going to aim for the tendrils with an arrow.
Okay.
Actually, as a bonus action, cast Hunter's Mark on one of the tendrils and then try to hit that one.
Okay.
All right. 17 to hit.
What are you aiming for?
Just one of the tendrils that's, like, making the power happen. The 100 feet away.
Okay.
I have the range.
Yeah, okay. That hits.
Awesome. Trying to keep the power, like, what Saradin's figuring is if there's no power, then the robots will go away. So that is 11 damage.
Okay. Yeah, so you launch an arrow, and it kind of hits into the, one of the divided, sections between, kind of the plates of the tendril, and it shakes a little bit, but it is, it stays in the ground. Meadow, you're next.
Yeah, so you said we're by the end of the room, and their robots are approaching from the entire, like, farm area?
Yes, from every direction, left, right, and then all around.
From every direction? But aren't we, like, up against the end of it?
Yeah.
So not from, like, behind?
Not from behind.
Okay,
from left,
cool.
And then right, and then all in that, like, half circle.
Yeah. I am going to cast Plant Growth, and I'm going to do this. Since they're approaching from all directions, I can't get all of them, but I'm going to center it so that I get as many as possible. In a 100 feet radius, every plant grows overgrown and thick, and now their movement is divided by four. So
divided by four?
Yes, they have to spend 4 feet to move 1 foot.
For everybody?
For everybody in that 100 foot radius. And I don't catch any of us in it, I just catch, like, I cut it off to only catch robots. I can shape it around areas, so I specifically do not catch anybody of us. But I catch all the robots.
Okay.
God damn.
That is very, very cool. Is that your turn?
That is my turn.
The robots are next again. The meadow is going to walk towards Ren and is going to try to... Is now reaching towards you, Ren. 21 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
So you are going to... Whoa! Take 16 points of lightning damage as it kind of sends a shock pulsing through you.
Yikes.
Saradin is going to just kind of walk towards Seeker as well, and then... Robo Meadow did that. Robo Saradin is going to walk towards Seeker, and then Robo Cyrus is going to also try to grab onto you.
Ren, are they walking right past there. Us to get to Seeker?
They're walking, like, into... They don't have enough movement to get, like, past, so they're, like, entering into your, like...
Okay, gotcha.
Like, within your range, but they are not... They're not exiting your, like, melee range. But they are, like... facing towards Seeker. So Robo Cyrus is going to reach toward you and gets a good old 8. So, oh no, that's an 11, but not much better.
Yeah, no.
So as Robo Cyrus kind of like completely whiffs that attack, you can see a few more of those robots start to kind of enter into your melee range. There is another Venus, and another Saradin. And it would have been more if Meadow had not done that cool thing.
Well, you shouldn't have put us in a massive room full of plants.
Yeah, that's... Hey!
Should I also cast that's Spike creative. Growth, too? And then we can just really, like, they'll have an 8
Ren,
movement.
Ren, your turn is now.
Okay, I think first attack I'm gonna whack Cyrus again, because he's... damage.
Robo Cyrus.
Sorry. Yeah.
you just hit normal Cyrus. Oh, yeah. Sorry, dude. I thought you were a robot.
I thought you were a robot. Yeah, no, I couldn't tell.
24.
Yep. That'll do.
And he gets 14 damages.
Yikes. Okay, yeah. You smash them all down on top of Robo Cyrus, and he just crumbles into a pile of loose pieces.
And then for my second attack, I would like to swing at Meadow. Like I whack Cyrus
Robo-Meadow?
And then I Robo Meadow. Cause Robo Meadow attacked me and yeah. It's only fair.
Okay. Go ahead.
17 to hit.
17 to hit, that one does.
And Robo-Meadow gets 13 damages.
Okay. You hit Robo-Meadow, and then you see kind of the same thing that you have before. She looks very, very kind of battered and bruised after this. Then Venus, you're up.
So there's Meta, Robo-Meadow and Robo-Saradin in front of us now? And no, Robo-Venus? What is it?
Yes.
You killed Robo-Venus.
Right now, so you had Robo-Marsh, Robo-Ren, Robo-Meadow, and Robo-Saradin. Another Venus showed up, and another Saradin showed up. So there's two Robo-Saradins, and then one of the rest of you.
Okay.
Oh, man. And
so, isn't there, a whole room of them? These are just the ones
approaching
us? Yeah,
these are just the ones, that are, within, melee range. I'm kind of envisioning, a spotlight around everybody, and this is the only way that I can think to handle this fight, is to have the guys that are near enough for you to, feasibly attack.
And are there still robots trying to get to Seeker?
Yes. Ren is, Robo-Ren is headed towards there, but is, frozen by Cyrus. Robo-Saradin, the first Robo-Saradin, is also just on the move towards Seeker.
Are the two Robo-Saradins, next to each other, by chance?
No.
No?
The one Robo-Saradin is in the middle of kind of everybody, headed towards Seeker, and the other Robo-Saradin just entered around the edge of the ring.
Okay, so who's next to the first Saradin?
Me.
Regular Saradin, pretty much. Yeah, okay. it's I think regular Saradin and regular Meadow are right there.
Okay, but no other robots?
No other robots.
Oh, you're so evil to me. I guess I'm just gonna go for Robo. Well, I don't really wanna stab a sword through my robot child. That's kind of weird. You said that there is a Venus?
There's another Venus, yeah. And it is pretty near to you. It's kind of, you were fighting along, the outer edge, and it also has come in near that.
Yeah, okay. So Venus, at first, she's going to take a step forward, and she's, she wants to get Robo-Saradin away from Seeker, but she also doesn't want to stab her sword through this exact lookalike of this kid that's in her party. So...
do it.
Just not a fan of that idea as the responsible adult around here. So she's just gonna turn back around and slash at her robo self.
All right. Go ahead and roll your attacks.
Not this. Okay.
Not this again.
I can't believe he's making you roll dice.
No, wait, what?
I have to split for you. 22.
Yeah, that one hits.
Thank you.
You guys are rolling really well this fight.
I know.
Don't jinx it.
I want to jinx it.
You hate our guts.
It's fun
he
when you get hurt.
He wants us dead. He did say, for the audience, funny. This morning I was being annoying, and Tin said, you know that I'm in control of what happens to Meadow, right?
Well.
So, if I die soon, you know what's up.
And I also am editing this, so if you die, they won't know what's up.
I will post it to our social media. I will tell them.
Anyways,
that's 12 damage.
12 damage on Robo-Venus. Okay.
Yes.
So.
Kill that thing.
Yeah. Are you going to attack again?
Yeah, did it not do anything?
I mean, it does... I could say the exact same thing that you did last turn. I could just re-describe word for word what you did last time. If you want me to do that, I will.
No.
But
I see what I wanted you to say was that I kill her dead.
No.
But can't you say that just to be nice?
No. All right, you kill her dead.
Oh,
but
yes.
She's still standing right in front of you and needs to technically she isn't alive. She's a robot. But and you get her. But she's still there with some hit points left, so you gotta resolve that.
14 to hit?
Yeah, that hits.
Okay, thank God, it should hit, because that's my armor class, and I'm killing myself.
Your armor class should be higher than that.
Listen, I'm working on about it.
It should
we'll
not
do something
not,
about your armor
fighter.
Class.
It should not be on level with mine.
I have such a good technique with, like, the skills that I've chosen for myself, but it can't work if my armor class just means that everybody hits me. You guys just, like, listen, one day I'm going to do something so cool and it's going to work.
You got it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Thanks.
Roll that damage.
7 plus 6. 13.
Nice. Okay.
13 damage.
Your 13 damage. Your sword slashes clean through RoboVenus.
Dead.
And,
another one.
The image is gone and is reduced to a pile before you. Next. Marsh.
What I want to do, what Marsh wants to do, is run into the group of robots.
Okay.
Taking whatever
opportunity
attacks and cast Thunderwave.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're going to get... I'm going to just roll a d6, and that's the amount of opportunity attacks you're going to have against you. If that's what you want to still do.
It's fine with me.
Okay. What was your armor class?
15.
Okay. Okay. You run into the group of into kind of the cluster of these robots, and they are kind of they're all trying to grasp at you as you run past them. One of them lays their hands on you for 14 points of lightning damage, and then you kind of just like you stop for a second before continuing on, and then after that. Another one grabs hold of you. This one did get a critical hit.
Okay. There's a chance I do go down with this, but we'll see.
Oh my god.
That is 20.
No, they're good.
Okay, I'm good, I'm good.
God dang.
I was worried, man.
If the audience is wondering how many hit points I have left.
I'm wondering.
Yeah, the audience.
It's a cool 7.
Whoa. Okay.
Oh my god.
A brisk 7 HP.
And then I'm going to cast Thunderwave.
All right.
Each creature in a 15-foot cube originating from me must make a constitution saving throw. Failed save, creature takes 2d8 thunder damage and is pushed 10 feet away from me. On a successful save, creature takes half as much and isn't pushed. And unsecured objects, but I don't think that's an issue here.
Yeah. I'm going to say there's 15 of these guys.
Okay.
I'm going to roll 3 times, and it'll be 5 each. What am I beating?
Spell save DC is 14.
That is a 4. And an 11.
Good.
And another 11.
Amazing. So that's... I'm actually going to do this as a second level spell slot, so it's going to be 3d8.
Okay.
It doesn't change anything that you roll.
I know, but I think next time decide first before I roll.
Sorry, yeah, I just realized.
You can, but just next time.
Yeah, 13 damage to anyone who failed. Everyone.
Okay. Everyone does. Okay, so you launch outwards from yourself these 15. Okay, yeah, go for it.
I think Marsh, like running past all these people, taking hits, kind of goes into this group of people. And I think literally as like robots are like swinging at them, they crouch down like into a small ball. Their hands are kind of like working. In a way that we can't see, and then this thunderous wave erupts.
Ooh, I like that. Okay,
and
so...
everyone is pushed back 15, 10, 10.
10 feet. Okay, so if you go in 15 feet and then push them back 10, that doesn't push anybody into the circle, so that's very good. They all kind of get launched back. You have a circle of, now people who are no longer like in that radius. The couple people on the nearer side to your party, I'll say it's I'll say they're all three Cyruses.
Great.
They are now closer, but those other 12 are farther away. So, and damaged. So,
yeah. And then bonus action hidden step. I'm going to go invisible.
Okay. Very good.
Explodes and disappears.
That's pretty neat. Yeah. Now, the robots are up again. I think the Marsh bot is going to run kind of... It's interesting because this Marsh bot kind of moves to towards Seeker. And now they are less, like, less mechanical, a little bit more closer to what... how Marsh actually walks. Still a very blank-faced expression, though. Marsh is not a great example of noticeable active mannerisms, but they are kind of moving through, and they are going to, I think, take an opportunity attack from Meadow.
Oh, from me?
Yes.
Shit, I was not prepared for that.
So, Meadow, you get to make... You can make an attack of opportunity against...
Yeah,
against this robot.
I'm gonna just do crossbow, I think, if it's attack of opportunity, because I have better uses for my spell slots, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
So that's... Let's hope for that. That does not hit, I can tell you, with complete confidence.
All right, runs past... and it is going to, grab Seeker.
Do I try to grab Seeker? Attack of opportunity since we're
were you
next
right
to
there?
Each other.
Oh, yeah, you were right next to each other. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, you can get an opportunity attack as well.
Wow,
this is all theater of the mind. Love this stuff.
25 to hit.
That will do it.
Yes, sir.
4 damage.
4 damage. Okay. What were you doing there?
Slashing with my sword.
All right. You kind of just hold out your sword and almost bunt as Marsh goes past you, and you slash alongside them, Marsh bot, and they go up to Seeker and grab them, and I'm going to inflict 11 points of lightning damage, and then Ren. Who is still frozen, and then both Cyruses, who you just launched closer, are also going to begin to draw nearer. They are actually both going to look at you, Ren, and they're both going to go invisible.
Whoa.
Cyrus is next. He's going to maintain concentration on Renbot, keeping him in... line. Saren, you're up.
Wait, what went invisible? Hold on.
Two Cyrus bots.
Ugh. Oh.
Okay, Saren is going to go ahead and change Hunter's Mark from the tendril to the Marsh bot that has slipped through.
Okay.
And then attack with short sword, 23 to hit, and that is 7 damage.
They're looking real bad, but still standing. Okay. Is that your turn?
I can attack again with my short sword. Does a 12 hit?
No, it does not.
Damn it. Okay, that's all I got. Right.
Meadow, you're up.
Yeah, how far am I from Marsh? And also, are they amongst the plant growth area?
Marsh bot?
No, Marsh.
Regular Marsh? I think regular Marsh now is... I'd say you are 25 feet.
So I can't get to them within my round?
Probably not.
Okay, then I'm casting Healing Word.
Can you do that if you can't see me?
Yeah, you have to be able to see a creature.
Shit, that's true. Healing Word I have to see. That's right. Why do you have to be so far away from me then?
Dang-gum.
Sorry for rules lawyering myself.
Yeah, sorry for you're doing this to yourself. That is true. I don't have to see you for cure wounds, but I do have to see you for healing word. And I can't cure wounds yet because I can't reach you in this round. That's a touch range.
I'm in the plants.
You are in the plants. That is my fault, to be fair.
No, it's not your fault. It was my fault for going into the plants.
Fair enough.
Reasonable.
We can all agree on that.
Well, if that's the case, then I will have to do something else. Quick question, DM.
Yeah.
The book doesn't specify, so it's up to you whether I can cast aid on the same person twice.
I mean, what level spell stat is it?
It's second. I have it. I just, extra, like, hit points if I cast it again while it's still in effect?
I mean, I don't see no reason why you couldn't.
Because there are some spells that you can't, but it doesn't say.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if it doesn't say, I think you totally could. Like, you're burning a spell slot anyways, so, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's worth it enough.
If there's nothing about the effect stacking, I think you should be fine.
Yeah, it doesn't say that they can't stack, so I think they should be able
You'd
to.
Be able to do it, for sure.
So that's, I'll cast it on, I can cast it on three people, so I'm casting it on Marsh, and on Saradin, and on Ren. So plus five for
Is
all
that
of
the
you.
Same folks it was last time?
No, it isn't. I'm choosing the one with the lowest HP. which, if we're counting, currently, your hit points... you have two actual hit points and 10 bonus hit points from aid that are temporary.
Oof.
So I have 12?
Yes.
From 7 to... Yeah. Okay.
And then also,
Does
like
my
I said, Ren and Saradin.
Maximum increase again?
Yes. Again, yes. Temporary.
If that's your turn...
Yes, that's my turn.
Robots are next again. Metalbot is also going to... She's going to... try to grab you again. And that's a 7.
My AC is 15, so no.
Yeah, all right. Then, okay, Saradin Bot 1 is going to run back towards Seeker and invoke an opportunity attack from both Meadow and Saradin again.
These fools.
Fools.
Okay, so 23
this one, this one has not been damaged yet as well.
Okay, I only did 4 damage.
Okay.
I'm going to take this opportunity attack to cast Spiritual Weapon.
Okay.
If I can do that.
I mean, yeah.
And that's... I create a floating spectral weapon, and it lasts for a while, and it does a melee attack on, well, this bot in this case, which is... That is a 24 to hit. So,
Oh yeah.
And then I was casting this with my fourth level spell slot because fuck you, which means that it takes 2d8. Hold on. And that is I can do math 14 damage.
Okay. Saradin Bot, what does your spiritual weapon look like?
My spiritual weapon looks like... It looks like a really big python that just whacks.
Oh my god.
Okay, okay, your very big python kind of whacks into Saradin and... Or Saradin Bot, and, they're kind of, hurled across the room a little bit, and then their image flickers, and they look... Very, very bad. And actually, Meadow, it kind of freaks you out.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Because this is
Meadow hates it.
Like,
she did this instinctively because, like, you know, instinct, attack of opportunity. And then immediately went, shit.
Like, upon death's door, this Saradin looks. Like fur soaked in blood. Like, one of his eyes is like gouged out.
Literally the only reason she could attack it at all is because Saradin was already attacking it, like real Saradin.
Yes.
I think Saradin also just attacked it on instinct and is now just like
no, she is
horrified staring.
Absolutely,
hands both clasped Saradin and Meadow just like
still alive though, and she kind of reaches Seeker and is going to attempt to grab again.
I wish there was a counterspell, but for grabs.
That's a 20 as well.
Fuck.
Not a natural 20, but that is a 20 and will hit 4. Man. That was max damage, you guys. That's 16 points of lightning damage on Seeker.
Uh-oh. Ooh. That's bad.
Seeker has taken all of that damage. And then the round is over. And you can see from the sides, from kind of flanking you at the left and right, three more Meadows, another Venus, and two Wrens join the fray. And as they kind of draw closer, you can see that they're no longer walking like rigidly, and they are now nearly perfectly replicating the mannerisms each of you.
Yikes.
Along with those six new robots, there are two tendrils that have made their way over near to you. Two other completely new ones have shown up. As they do this, you hear a hissing sound as Seeker has now opened the next access port. They say, "The way is now open, and we are... Oh, dear!" And they turn and see all kind of the carnage and the amount of robots and everything kind of happening. And, Ren, it's your turn.
So the port is open?
Port's open, yeah.
What guys are around me?
You've got Metobot. You've got... there were two Cyrus bots that went invisible. And... there is a Saradin bot and a Marsh bot near the port. But those are the guys that are kind of in the radius.
How many feet away is the door?
Like 10 from you.
Oh. Well, that's easy. Never mind. I was like, do I need to dash to the door? No. Okay. Can I whack and then also, after that, go to the door?
Yeah.
Okay. I whack Meadow boss.
Okay.
that is a 24 to hit.
Yeah.
And?
It's a very suspicious amount of 24s from you today, by the way.
I press the button and it rolls it.
I know, I'm just pulling your leg, being a little stinker.
14 damage.
Yeah, okay. You bring down your mole on top of Metobot, and she just crumbles beneath you, and the illusion fades as these pieces and parts all kind of...
Can I roll to whack one of the invisible Cyrus bots, presumably with disadvantage?
Yeah, you'd have disadvantage, yeah. But you can try to make an attack.
Okay, I would like to do that. Okay, well, the first one is a 13 plus 7, which is a 20, and the second one is a 7 plus 7, which is a 14.
That does hit.
Oh, yes. I whack him, and he takes 14 damage.
Yikes. Okay, so you kind of make a very broad stroke with your maul, kind of like doing like a spin and a flourish, like having to spin your body to keep up with the momentum of this very heavy hammer that you're wielding. And in a very broad stroke, you just smash right through a robot. The illusion, like, you don't see the Cyrus, but you see the parts like splatter through the air. And that's
And then after that I want to run to the door.
Okay, you're going to take are you going to, so the door is kind of like a porthole in the floor. You're going to take one opportunity attack again from the one Cyrus who was there. That's a nat one. Okay, yeah. You run over to the porthole, and you can see like there is a ladder kind of leading downwards.
Well, I don't know if I want to like leave yet. I just want to stand next to it because I don't want to like abandon my party in case someone gets hurt. So I'm gonna stand menacingly next to the porthole.
Okay. There is the Saradin bot and the Marsh bot near you. They both look very bad though. Venus, you're up.
Like, would the robots follow us if we just dip?
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess Venus is gonna follow Ren towards the exit and take some guys out along the way. Who's along that way?
You've kind of cleared the area of there is an invisible Cyrus near you that you probably will take an attack of opportunity from.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to try to hit that. It's one of the ones that marsh damaged. There is, you wouldn't run into any on your way, but you would have, there is Cerdan Bot and Marsh Bot, near the porthole.
Okay. I'm gonna try and, slash Cyrus Bot.
All right.
Clarify.
Okay, it's disadvantage?
Disadvantage.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that would be in that one.
No!
Yeah, okay.
That's so sad.
You don't manage to. You kind of swing your sword through the air, and you actually stumble a little bit, and you may stumble backwards somehow, and as you, yeah. That's kind of what happens there.
What happens is Vita's runs out there and she takes her sword and she's like whipping it back and forth trying to hit something. And she absolutely doesn't. She trips over her own foot. Yeah, I guess I'll try it again. Well, and then yeah. Because then afterwards I'm gonna run to where Ren is.
Okay.
22.
Wow. With a disadvantage?
Yep, I rolled a 16 the first time and then a 17 the second time.
Wow, okay. Okay, I think as you're like stumbling and tripping over your own foot, you literally hit into Cyrus Bot and just turn around and slash with your sword. Roll for damage.
Rolling for the damage. That would be 16 damage.
Yikers! Okay, yeah, you know exactly where this robot is because you just backed into it and you turn 180 degrees and using the momentum of your turn, you just swipe clean through them and the parts go just flying.
Great.
And you're free of opportunity attacks right now.
I have a question.
Yeah.
When the parts go flying, does the illusory magic stay on them?
No,
like,
no,
do
no,
we
no.
see body parts?
You see just like
robot parts.
The illusion fades after that.
Got it.
Then
okay.
You just see the robot
that
parts.
That would be traumatizing.
That would
this
suck
is already
a lot. And I'm not gonna
crazy.
Go. I've gone pretty far. I'm not gonna go that far. I thought about it for a second, but I'm not going to.
Okay, so that's both of my attacks. So I go run to Ren.
Okay. Are you going to go down the hole, or are you just going to stay there?
I'm going to stay by Ren.
All right. Marsh, you're up.
Cool. I'm going to take the disengage. Oh, the plant growth is still there. Is it?
Yes.
It is?
It just stays there.
It is.
For, like, a long time.
And I'm going to try and move. Is it concentration? Can you end it when you want?
Let me check that.
I mean, I can't communicate.
No,
to
it
you.
Just stays there. It's not an effect. But, it's instantaneous. It's grown now. It's there. It's not a duration.
The plants
it just
are
happens.
Grown.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
there. It's not like they're gonna ungrow.
No,
those plants grew. Very cool spell, but unfortunate
so just,
for Marsh.
Yeah. So I'm just taking the disengage, and I'm trying to move as close to the port as I can.
All right. I say you can get 5 feet away from it. You can get
okay.
within melee range of. Of one of the robots. There's Marshbot is right there, and Cerdanbot also is there. Cerdan looks much worse than Marshbot does, or Cerdanbot looks much worse than Marshbot does, but
yeah.
that is...
Oh boy, do they.
Well, I've already taken the
disengage. Oh,
disengage
action,
and I
right.
don't want
yes,
to...
okay.
Yep, and I don't want to get rid of my invisibility either, so that's everything.
The robots are up next. Marshbot is going to... Marshbot's going to go, and... just try to attack Seeker again with that same thing, still grabbing onto them, which doesn't hit. Seeker manages to shake them off, and they actually fall down the porthole, you can hear them kind of clunking around the shaft, and it echoes up with a thud and a crash. Ren Bot is still frozen by Cyrus, so that is the end of that turn, and then Cyrus is next. He is going to run over kind of towards the porthole and is going to try to... does anybody off the top of their heads know the rule for the shove action?
No.
In what?
Oh,
what do you mean?
Like it's like, a strength
yeah,
check,
just like
right?
In general? Hold on.
Just like it's, in general yeah. D&D, like.
Is it like an honor?
Is there
strength?
A rule for the shove action?
I mean, it's a strength check.
It's a constitute.
Isn't it?
Between both of them.
Or...
Yeah. Each. The person who's shoving and the person who's getting shoved both need to make.
Is it constitution or strength? I thought it was strength.
Opposed. It's opposed strength checks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cyrus is going to roll. Cyrus rolls a 5. And Saradin, but. Gang.
What?
That's a natural one right there.
Yeah.
That's is that the super fucked right up Saradin bot?
That's the real bad Saradin bot. And he just kind of shoves it down the porthole as well. And it falls and it clanks. And you can hear as it falls and like hits against the walls, you can literally hear like it burst before it like hits the ground, and you can hear the clatter of a bunch of different robotic pieces all kind of falling down. And then he is there near you all now, and Saradin, it is your turn.
I guess I'll go. That was a little bit brutal, huh? That was a little bit brutal. Let's just get down that ladder. Is everybody here? They're just going to go towards the ladder because nobody's there anymore that's going to hurt them. And I guess, just for fun, fire an arrow at the closest bot.
Okay. I think the closest bot to you now would be Renbot, who is frozen, and you would have advantage.
Oh, nice.
Kill my double.
14.
That hits.
Nice. Then that is 7 damage.
7 damage. Okay. It kind of sinks into them, and they just stay there. It doesn't look like they like are knocked back by it at all. It just enters into like his like shoulder, and it just like with a plunk, just kind of goes in and
it sinks into it.
It just like is in there now.
It's like when a hot knife or like metal goes into ice.
Exactly.
Nice.
It's frozen.
It's like if you threw a pencil into kinetic sand. That's what I'm imagining.
Everybody's done great. This one.
Everybody's done that one. I mean, you can
Everyone
imagine it.
Everyone loves the classic pencil and kinetic sand.
I mean, I can't
sand,
imagine
but...
it.
Yeah, right? Like, I haven't done it, but I know what it would look like, probably.
Oh my god.
Probably.
So, Saradin, are you going... to just stand by the porthole, or...
Yeah, because Ren is still standing there too, right?
I mean, everybody's just standing up there.
Yeah, everybody is?
Everybody is, but I think Venus and Marsh
you
are the...
You can't see Marsh,
or,
but they're
not
there.
Venus. Meadow and Marsh are, like, the only ones not immediately right there, but, like...
Okay.
So Marsh is close, and Meadow is also close, but cool. Basically everybody... Pretty much everybody's there.
Okay. Then I think Saradin... like, as they were saying, like, to Meadow, like, let's go to the ladder, is, like, going down and then, like, gesturing towards her to follow. And that ends my turn. Starting
okay,
down Meadow, the ladder.
Yeah, I think up until, like, the moment that Cyrus pushed the Saradin bot down the shaft and it, like, clattered into robot pieces, I think she was completely frozen in place. And if he had not done that, she would still be, like... Not even. I don't think she would have noticed that the porthole was open.
Win for Cyrus, then.
So win for Cyrus. Like, genuinely, I think that when he did that, she registered that other stuff had happened.
Got it.
So she sort of snaps out of it and starts moving towards the porthole. Her spiritual weapon is still in effect, so she takes a slash at... I don't know. She can move it up to 20 feet, so anything within that range...
I mean, Renbot's been hurt already.
So she takes an attack on Renbot that doesn't hit. So never mind.
Yeah, okay.
I need to switch this D20 out. It's not serving me very well.
Okay, are you moving down the ladder?
Is anyone moving down the ladder?
I am.
Well, I was waiting for you all to go first.
Are we out of combat?
I could make a whole other like initiative start and have everybody go again, but I think I'd rather just have everybody just the win condition for this fight is everybody is at the port, or the port opens and everybody goes down. You're all there.
We're all like, there. We're going.
I think Marsh goes down last after everyone is gone.
Okay.
Okay. He threw the Saradin bot down, right?
Yeah.
So there's just clatterings of robot pieces.
You're kind of like going down the ladder, I think I'm gonna describe this as like in media res, as you're all kind of still working on getting everybody down the ladder because I've got other stuff that's gonna happen. But you can see that the ladder is very, very tall, and it goes down for a while, and you could hear the clattering of the robot pieces just going down for a long time.
Nice. Then,
as you're kind of all moving down this ladder, Marsh, you said you went. You're going like after everybody's already gone in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think they just kind of like take a look back around at all of the robots and then step in.
Okay. The port begins to close kind of slowly, but as it does, the robot that was slumped over, which didn't actually activate, but it falls mm-hmm. in, and the port kind of closes, like severing the head off of it. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh my god. Just Marsh?
Me?
Okay. Just Marsh. Just Marsh.
Yeah, cool your boots, guys.
Oh, that's good. 15.
Okay, as it kind of falls, you just, out of instinct, you're just like, reflexes kick in, and you extend a hand, and it falls into it, and now you are holding this head.
Hmm. Oh, it's a head. Okay.
It's just the head of the robot that was severed by the porthole.
The body fell in.
Nope.
Or if the head fell in.
It all started to fall in, and then the port closed and severed the head off of it.
Got it. So it's just a robot, or is it like a severed head of a guy?
It's the severed head of one of those robots. That same kind of thing, like
okay.
With the
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Your detect magic is actually kind of still in effect because it's been like mm-hmm. less than a minute really, and you can still kind of feel that like illusion magic enhanced by that technology from this robot head.
Do I feel it fading as it like quote unquote dies?
No.
Interesting. It's also it was concentration. That's interesting. It was concentration up to 10 minutes.
What is?
We can say I still have it on.
Detect magic? I'm just going to play with the rules here.
Yeah. Is it like a ladder I'm climbing down?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to put it in my pack for now.
Okay.
And who's the person closest to me in this ladder?
Closest to you? Down? I'd imagine Venus or Ren. I think Seeker went down pretty quick, probably after Meadow.
Okay.
The order is probably Saradin and then Meadow. And then Seeker, and then Cyrus, and then Ren, Venus, you? I think cool. That makes sense.
Okay. All right. I'm going to wait until we get down to the bottom of this thing.
All right.
Oh my god, that was intense. I am glad that is over and nothing else is going to happen and it's all fine from here. Welcome to the show notes, brought to you by me, Birdie, or Duck, whichever you feel like. As always, a quick shout out here to Dax Ayrton on Reddit. That is spelled Daxayrton. I used his homebrew Possum Folk Race for Saradin, and he very kindly gave me permission and well wishes for the show before we even started recording this dang thing. He makes a ton of really cool stuff, so be sure to check him out. That is Dax Ayrton on Reddit. And of course, thank you to you guys. This is our highest month of listenership that we have ever had. And the only way for us to keep that going and keep growing is with you guys, with word of mouth. That's our only way of growing the show, since we don't advertise. So
please share. You can use our link tree at linktr.ee/diceclubpodcast, which will take you to all of our socials and to the show itself. Plus, if there are any talented artists out there that want to make any fan art and post it, then we would go just cuckoo bananas for that. That would make all of our week here at the show. So if you do post anything, be sure to use the hashtag TheDiceCast, and we'll see it and we'll share it on our story, and we'll be happy to give you a shout out here in the break. And this week we actually do have someone to shout out. Friend of the show, Cowboyable on Instagram. He made an incredible piece of Cyrus, everyone's favorite little rapscallion. Please go check it out. It is absolutely incredible. And all of his other amazing work on Instagram at Cowboyable. Spotify has a very fun Q&A feature, so don't be afraid to ask any Qs on there. We'd love to answer them, and we also try to put a poll on each episode as it comes out, so look out for that. And I think that is it. Thank you again so much for listening, and episode 30, it is a real doozy, is coming out on May 7th.
All have successfully made it into the opening, and you begin climbing down the ladder in this almost too narrow downward shaft. You're climbing for a solid half hour until you reach the bottom. The narrow shaft opens up, although not much, into a chamber. Marsh, you kind of have to duck to even stand up here. It's about 7 feet high, with only just about as much room as would allow you all to have your own space. You feel somewhat cramped as you look around.
Yeah, Marsha's invisibility wears off after a minute.
Yeah, you definitely feel cramped in this room. If you didn't just come down from a metal shaft, you'd have no way of knowing that any of the surfaces in here were made out of metal. Everything is caked in a layer of moss and vines and grass, and you can even see a couple saplings in the corners of the room. There's a door like the one that Seeker, like the ones that Seeker has opened before, although they are hesitating to open it.
I think,
and then I assume there's scattered robot pieces.
Yeah, I think Meadow.
There's a bunch of scattered robot bits on the floor as well.
I think
well.
Meadow stops like right as we get down and just looks at the remnants of the Saradin bot for a bit, just like taking it all in.
There were two bots that went down. You don't like you can't even tell which one was.
No, of course not, because they were they didn't actually look like Saradin. Yeah. But I think she looks at the robot bits, and I think she picks up a small a gear or something, like something small, and like puts it in her pocket.
Oh,
Marsh goes over to Seeker. Goes, we continuing?
I think you should take a rest, actually, because, well, I can't say HP numbers as Meadow, but I think that when my spell wears off, you're going to be on the brink of death.
I would enjoy a break after all of that. I think we need just a minute.
Yeah, I agree.
Or several hours.
It may be within our best interest to take a break as well. I know I wouldn't mind one.
Oh my god.
Never mind, let's keep going.
Have you even taken any damage, Cyrus?
Hey, it's your loss, guys. I don't know,
hey, Cyrus,
I don't know.
Cyrus, did you even take any damage?
I'm ready to roll.
Take a chill pill.
He did cast spells.
I mean, I did cast a bunch of spells. I'm feeling rather taxed after I wasted my, I expended my, fourth level, but, you know.
I also expended my fourth level, and I took damage, and I'm not complaining. She says this as if she didn't also just suggest a rest.
Saradin casts Good Berry and gives everybody a berry or two.
Wow, Good Berry!
Thank you, Saradin.
Thank you, Saradin. Much appreciated.
I know we're taking a rest, and so we will be regaining our hit points anyway. But I do think that Meadow casts Cure Wounds on Marsh, just because when the temporary hit points wear off, they will have two.
Yeah.
So I think they cast that and boost it just a little bit, but it doesn't really matter how much if they're taking a rest.
Yeah, I think Marsh, you start going over and doing this, and Marsh, I think, just, like, looks at you in complete and utter confusion.
You...
I
just noticed that you got hit, like, pretty bad.
Yeah, you walked into the middle of those robots, and they got you, and then you got them, got you.
Yeah, like... You looked about one hit away from just going down, so I figured that, you know, pain relief.
They turn to Seeker. Do you have an idea of what's past the doors?
Well, the third layer has been primarily designated as a maintenance layer. There's a lot of... It has almost a direct line to every location in the city. In the world, and it really should not be all that long until we reach the core.
Whoa.
Although, I do feel a rest with Sudut's well.
I agree with Meadow. Marsh, like, are you good?
Yeah. I'm still up.
Well, yeah, but there's a whole range of how good you can be between perfect and still up.
Yeah, and this is the second time that you've sort of walked directly into very dangerous, damaging situations.
Yeah, the
today.
Only reason you're this bad off is because you went into battle with damage that you just sort of took.
Yeah.
Voluntarily.
We're making progress.
Well, you can't make progress if you're dead.
At a certain point, like, even if you do get healed up, I feel like it would probably catch up with you.
And it still hurts. It hurts, like, between the hurting and the healing, it's still damaged.
Marsh, you don't have to take all of this. Like, we are going through this together. And you can count on us to help you through this, and you don't have to just sacrifice yourself.
Yeah, Marsh. That's what a party's for.
How big is this room that we're in?
20-foot square.
Thunderwave.
The thought crossed my mind.
Oh man.
I think Marsh looks at the party with a familiar disdain. Then they take Seeker and go, can I talk to you for a bit?
Yes, of course.
I think Meadow sort of slumps down against the wall and, beckons Saradin over because she's still pretty fucked up, like...
uh-huh. They come over and sit next to her and kind of, like, hold on to her arm. And then Saradin looks over to Venus and kind of, like, gives her a look of, like, come over here, I want to talk quietly.
Venus is gonna go over and kneel down next to the both of them.
Marsh didn't seem very receptive to that. I'm a little worried about them. I don't know what I expect you to do. I don't know. I feel like we've got to do something, but I don't know.
Party mom, help us.
Yeah, literally. Saradin doesn't have the words for that, but basically, yes.
Yeah. I can sort of understand the position that Marsh feels like they're in. And it's difficult to be in a place that reminds you of something. I don't know what Marsh's case is, and maybe there's a reason for that. But I think we just have to show Marsh that we are here for them. And again, we're all in this together. And you guys were really just, I appreciate you, what you guys did for me. And I think we just have to do the same for Marsh and just be there.
But what if they put themselves in danger again and we're not, and we can't get there in time, and they don't do anything to protect themselves? What are we supposed to do then? Because I can only work, I mean, I can only heal people if they haven't died yet, you know? And if they don't have any sense of self-preservation, then there's only so much I can do. And I don't have a lot of experience with losing people. But when I attacked that robot that looked like Saradin, and it looked so much like Saradin, I mean, that was already pretty fucking bad. I don't know what I would do. If I actually had to just stand by and fail at saving any of you.
Saradin holds her arm a little bit tighter. That's not going to happen.
How can you know that?
I'll make sure. I'll make sure it won't happen.
We'll all make sure. We all check up on each other. We're in this together. It's a pretty weird situation that we found ourselves in. But I promise that we're going to make it back home, and we're all going to be in one piece. And Meadow, I won't let anything happen to you. Or any of us.
But stuff has already happened to us, though.
And we've made it through! That's testament that we've made it this far. We've made it through, what, this is our third new dimension? I never thought that this would ever happen, but we've continued to push through, and we will push through.
But there... I mean, how do we even know that there is a through? It's just new thing after new thing. We have seen absolutely no evidence that one of these portals leads back.
Well, I can't say that I know what's going to happen. But we do have a prophecy, and there's normally an end to those things.
Not necessarily a good one. And fat lot of good that prophecy is anyway. It only shows the past.
I think that's a great place to call that.
Okay, I think Ren, like, after Marsh walked off to go to Seeker, just sort of, like, stood there and stared at them for a while and, like, could hear, like, when Venus and Saradin and Meadow were talking, like, was just sort of standing there, like, a bit to the side, but, like, still, like, within hearing range and shit. But I think, like, the emotions, the vulnerability of that conversation makes him uncomfortable. So he, instead of, like, acting on his concern for Marsh and, like, joining that conversation and that shit, he instead walks in the opposite direction and sort of finds a place on the ground and gathers some of the, like, plant matter and creates a little campfire and lights it up.
I think Cyrus kind of finds his way over to you and sits down on, I think, the, like, opposite side of the fire. I'm imagining the fire is, like, kind of against a wall and you're both on opposite ends of it. And honestly, you're just sitting there for a while. A few minutes pass and he says,
That was pretty intense there. For a bit. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, the fighting clones does that to a motherfucker, right? Huh? Yes.
I mean, yeah, that was pretty wild, yeah. Yes, but,
Sorry for, going after you first. It's just you were right there, and your face is very punchable.
I was right there, yeah. You smashed, like, 8 of me. I froze you with my cool powers. That's just how things go, you know? It's a bit of a tete-a-tete.
Hey, Cyrus. What? Like, I know we sort of kidnapped you, but, like, why are you here?
He pauses for a long time. And I think this, like, the entirety of the time that you've known him, the whole time that you've, like, any interaction that you've had with Cyrus, he's just had kind of an air of uppityness that is just, it just permeates through every single action he takes, every word he says. But as he's looking into the fire now, that kind of is gradually draining away. And he's silent for, I think, like a minute and a half. And he says,
What Venus and Meadow and Saradin were saying, do you ever wonder if you'll get back home?
Honestly? I would be fine if I didn't.
Okay, that was genuinely my next question that I was about to ask.
To be perfectly candid with you, Cyrus, I think that I personally am more terrified of showing up in a world where I actually do recognize, you know? Like Venus showed up on her fucking ship and Marsh comes here and it's their mom. I don't want to do that, but it sure seems like we're all just sort of cursed or something. I don't fucking know.
Well, I for one can't wait to see what your world is like.
I think Ren has like a pile of sticks and vines and shit next to him, and he just starts like breaking them up into pieces and throwing them in the fire. And he looks up at Cyrus and he's like, what are you going to do the next time we find your dad?
Well, I'm really hoping that there is no next time. But if there is, I think I just might put a lightning bolt between his eyes.
I'll drink to that. He cheers us with his, like, water canteen.
That was like combat flirting.
So man.
I think Marsh kind of leads Seeker over to one side of the room and positions themselves so their back is facing the party and Seeker is facing the party, but against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit down and they go, just pretend you're having a conversation with me. and gets out their tinker's tools and just starts quietly weeping as they start to work on Seeker and like looks up every now and then to mimic a conversation.
Seeker, I think Seeker does this for a while. I don't think they say anything. They don't really move a bunch, but after a couple minutes, they go, "Marsh, I'm not sure I want to pretend."
What's Enrica like?
She is kind. She is very strong. She protects. She is very interested in returning me to the core of the world. Every time I am unsuccessful in completing my journey, she has always made it a point to repair me, personally.
Repair you?
Any damages that I have sustained over the course of the journey, she mends them in a much similar way that you are now.
How long has she been doing this?
As long as I have known her.
Which is how many years?
My concept of time is very difficult to maintain a hold on. I tend to forget. I am broken. You intend to fix me. You think I will not be the same after I'm fixed.
Nothing is, though.
Do you want me to be different?
Not you, no.
Seeker kind of looks down, says, "I do not want to be broken. I want to be whole again. I do not think I am intended to be capable of feeling, yet I feel as though I am incomplete. Every moment that passes, I long to find the parts of myself that are no longer within me. I do not think I am supposed to yearn, yet I yearn. I should not feel, yet I feel. My directive is to observe. More simply, it is to seek. My directive calls for an objective obligation to search. Yet, I take interest in you. If I were not broken, would you still take interest in me?"
Marsh takes off their glasses, folds them up, and goes, "I created before I fixed. Could argue creation of one object is to fix another. I don't know if we'll be able to find the literal pieces of you that are required for you to be fixed. But I think there's a point to be made that yearning can be much like seeking. I have a question."
Is that in character or?
No, this is out of character.
Okay.
Actually, never mind. No, I don't. Sorry, I was just thinking about something. I don't know if you're the literal key, to what I've been trying to fix. But, who knows? And, go, I have many years to live anyways. I can keep preparing you for as many of those 100 as I need to. Hundreds.
And you will. And you hear that voice again.
Marsh, like, again, like, kind of jumps at the sound, and tears streaming down their face, turns to look at the rest of the party, and then quickly looks back to Seeker. I don't know where my fascination with you looms from. where it's planted. But one of the things that she taught me was that everything is perpetually changing and growing. And they keep working on Seeker.
Okay. I think a couple hours pass, and you all kind of start just one by one preparing spots to spend the night. The fires died down, the Seeker's eye lights are off now, and everybody is sleeping. Marsh, you're having a difficult time falling asleep. It seems like steadily, increasingly more of the thoughts and ideas you've had, more of your internal monologue, sounds less and less like your own voice. It wasn't hard to ignore while you were traveling and fighting and talking, but here, with the room no longer illuminated by the fire and Seeker's eye lights, the darkness and complete lack of stimuli make it so that all you have to focus on are your thoughts. On that voice. What's happening to you? It's not like you've never had to focus on your thoughts before. You've spent more time than most with nothing but yourself to pass the time. All that time spent alone, the rejection, the isolation, the searching, the unmaking, the forgetting, the... Wait, that wasn't you. But it is, you hear yourself think. Or at least, the distinction doesn't matter. And why should it? That's the last thought you have as you feel a smile unlike your own grow on your face, and you drift off to sleep.